Radio Daily for weekend eve, Jackbox Eve. Summer's yeah. Wait, that's not the same thing at all. Hi, everybody. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com, welcoming you to August 4th, National Fresh Breath Day.
Ooh.
So here's hoping you have a mint of some form, some kind, and you can impress people with your breath later. The folks that are bringing it to you today, the guy that sometimes has to go the way that he sees best, that there's podcasting Rich Siegfried.
I can't authorize that.
Which is why I didn't ask permission.
Oh, snap. That's right. I'm going to do what I said. And me, I'm the guy that best knows how to look at things that happen. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Ernest Hemingway once said, all he wanted to do was write one true sentence. He also tried to scratch an itch in the back of his head with a shotgun.
Not the best plan. I can tell you that now. What happened this day, sir?
Man, the outtakes from Aladdin were rough. In 1753, George Washington becomes a Master Mason, the highest basic rank in the secret fraternity of Freemasonry.
He was such a national treasure. 1922, all 13 million telephones in North America go silent for the space of 1 minute at sunset during the funeral services of Alexander Graham Bell.
1952, U.S. Air Force Air Rescue Service helicopters successfully complete the first transatlantic helicopter flight upon landing in Germany. The flight lasted 51 hours and 55 minutes.
1971, the U.S. launches a satellite into lunar orbit from a manned spacecraft for the first time.
1987, the FCC rescinds the Fairness Doctrine, which had once required media outlets to present controversial issues fairly.
Gosh, I'm glad we got rid of that. The world's been a better place. 1988, the first shuttle mission since the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster is delayed when a computer cancels the ignition of the Space Shuttle Discovery during an engine test after determining that a valve was failing to close fast enough.
1991, aboard the Space Shuttle Atlantis, an Apple Link running a Macintosh portable is used to send the first email from space. Astronauts Shannon Lucid and James C. Adamson send the message, "Hello, Earth! Greetings from the STS-43 crew. This is the first Apple Link from space. Having a great time. Wish you were here. Send cryo and RCS. Hasta la vista, baby! We'll be back." It was sent to Marcia Ivins, a shuttle communicator at the Johnson Space Center.
And a picture we won't talk about. 1995, Paramount Pictures released the sci-fi film Virtuosity, directed by Brent Leonard, starring Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe. If you want to see a classic example of a horrible 90s movie about technology and the internet, watch that film.
I know what you're talking about. The shuttle crew, they just sent a doc pic. 1997, Skynet funding bill is passed as a resolution by the Congress of the United States, granting the U.S. Air Force to build Skynet. It removed human decisions from strategic defense and turned over military control to the supercomputer.
What could possibly go wrong? 2006, James Bond tries to retrieve $150 million in Vesper Lind from a collapsing house in Venice. One of those was a safe bet.
2007, NASA launches the robotic Mars Phoenix lander aboard a Delta II rocket on a mission to explore the northern hemisphere of Mars for microbial life.
And that's how they take over, by getting in your cells. Birthdays?
Dylan Sprouse is 30 from Sweet Life of Zack and Cody and Big Daddy.
Cole Sprouse is 30 from The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, Big Daddy, and Riverdale.
I wonder if they know each other. They were on the same couple shows. Yeah. Michael DeLuise is 53 from 21 Jump Street, Encino Man, Sonny, and CSI New York, as well as Gilmore Girls.
CSI New York, Gilmore Girls, though. Daniel Day Kim is 54 from Angel, Lost, Hawaii 5-0, Johnny Gat in Saints Row.
Billy Bob Thornton is 67 from Tombstone, Sling Blade, Armageddon, Bad Santa, and The Gray Man. And he's good in it. And it's such a fun movie.
Wasn't bad in that episode of Harley Quinn the other day. Richard Belzer is 78. Inspector Henderson in Lois and Clark. Detective Munch on Homicide, Law and Order, The X-Files, every TV show ever. Hell, even Arrested Development, The Wire, 30 Rock. And if you want to get technical, you can make the argument for St. Elsewhere.
Also, fantastic old school stand-up comic. Yep. That's where you got to start. Born and stayed no longer with us in 1792, Percy Bysshe Shelley, an English romantic poet, wrote Ozymandias, Prometheus Unbound.
1913, Wesley Addy, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte, and Network.
1918, Iceberg Slim. He was an author, inspiration to Ice-T and Ice Cube, and also a man who would contract the ladies of the evening.
1937, Frank Vincent from Raging Bull, Goodfellas, Salvatore in Grand Theft Auto, Phil Leotardo on The Sopranos.
And 1942, Don S. Davis, Major Briggs in Twin Peaks, General Hammond in Stargate SG-1, and Scully's dad on X-Files.
They all really could have been the same character.
Probably was.
Right?
In my head canon, it is. CBS has a rerun of Young Sheldon, Ghosts, Big Brother.
ABC, oh, my Lanta on a new pressure look with the medicine. Starring Garla Fibbs, New Generation Gap, I don't know what that means, and The Con. So there's stuff on I don't know.
Is that like a playoff of Marla Gibbs or something?
I hope so.
NBC has new Law & Order, Law & Order SVU, and Law & Order OC.
Fox has NFL preseason football because, yeah, September's coming.
CW has a rerun of Walker and a rerun of The Flash.
Freeform, the Couturier crew copes with intense feelings thanks to Jasmine's wedding. Luca wants to create a change for the unhoused. One relationship rekindles when another relationship dies out. Isabella confronts another set of issues with her parents on a new Good Trouble that I keep writing as God Trouble, which is a much better title.
Bravo. I think, wasn't that, isn't that the upcoming Sandman that drops tomorrow? Bravo. Austin receives help from Shep and Craig as he moves things from his childhood house. Taylor worries about Shep's past infidelity. Olivia excludes some guests from her oyster roast. And Austin hits a downward spiral on a new Southern Charm.
FX, The Twilight Saga. New Moon.
FXX Simpsons Marathon as Donnie Fatso in Moms I'd Like to Forget.
FXM, still showing Logan, still in the top five of best, you know, superhero movies ever.
Agreed. BBC America has Hitman.
Not in anybody's top. Sci-Fi has got Resident Evil Extinction, just like the other Underworld thing. You know which one that is. You don't know.
DCM has the classic Strangers on a Train.
TNT's got another episode of Harley Quinn that's edited for down to 10 minutes, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman starting a family with a loving husband does not know that the mother of the baby who died under her watch many years ago has been waiting for this day, determined to take back what was taken from her, which is much more complicated than it needs to be. Alicia Lee Willis, Lindsay Godfrey star in Your Baby Is Mine.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Brady is devastated when he finds out that a childhood friend of his has become a dirty cop, and he is the only one who can bring him down. Brady's like, look, I know what you did. This has to stop. I will be sharing the secret that you don't want to get out. But his friend's like, I ain't gonna stop. So Brady knows it's gonna be guns before butter. Hashtag Chad. Forever.
You got mail, baby.
Hey, GOD, the only thing you're missing about NFTs is money laundering. That is from Ryan.
I think that's pretty accurate.
I mean, we said NFTs. I thought we all understood that guy was with the territory. Wow, seriously. Seriously, if you've got a legitimate reason that NFTs are a good thing, I really, really, really want to hear it. I listen to people about Twilight. I read the first book and admit that it's good for 50 pages. So tell me something about NFTs that we don't know. We'd love to hear. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, a text message, a voicemail about NFTs. Just send it to this number.
510-GRD-CROW.
Money laundering. Isn't that like when TYT gets super chats on their YouTube channel?
Hi, kids. I'm an astronaut. And when I'm not performing highly technical maneuvers on a space shuttle, I like to listen to the Accidental Survivor Podcast, the modern gaming podcast.
That's right, kids. 9 out of 10 astronauts surveyed preferred Accidental Survivors to Tang, except that it was mixed with vodka. You can find us at accidentalsurvivors.libsyn.com. Accidental Survivors. You don't need to be drunk to enjoy it, but it sure helps.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Todd. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Stay tuned or drop out. God bless you.
He knows what's up.
All the cool kids talk like that, man. All the cool kids. Right, Patreon folks? What?
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I remember is
that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
I can't believe that show's gonna live forever because of that one damn drop. That's just fantastic. Hey, what games are out, man?
We've got Dig Dug. An arcade game released in 1982, the objective is to kill the underground monsters by either squishing them under a rock through the tunnels you create or by popping them using your weapon directly. It's now available for the Switch and PS4.
Gigabash, a multiplayer kaiju-themed arena fighter for the PC.
Absolute Drift, arcade driving game about drifting, performing tricks, and avoiding obstacles for points. It's available for the Switch.
Amazing Bomberman, an action rhythm entry in the Bomberman franchise exclusively for the Apple Arcade, because that's a thing.
Wait, what game is that?
Amazing Bomberman.
We've also got The 13th Month, a dark fantasy visual novel retelling of the fairy tale Sleeping Beauty, available for the PC.
Timothy and the Tower of Mu, a retro-styled action platformer from Kaibu Entertainment, and Playism for the PC.
And Sea of Thieves. There's a brand new Season 7 featuring new cosmetics, new ship features, and stools. I'm actually really looking forward to that.
You mean, God, I hope not. Oh, and don't forget to download the new tracks for Mario Kart. What?
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, the full trailer is out for Rebecca McKendry's glorious, the Lovecraftian glory hole horror thriller hitting Shudder on August 18th.
The Lovecraftian what now?
True Blood star Ryan Quanten plays a hungover man who has to use a public bathroom and begins to hear a strange and omniscient voice, J.K. Simmons, coming from the hole in the partition between the stalls.
J.K. Simmons calling from the other side of a hole in the bathroom wall. I don't know if I'd be more terrified than, well, curious.
Wes is soon pulled into a reality-shattering trip that no one will believe. That is, if he lives to tell the tale, blending dark comedy, gore, and cosmic horror. The film is inspired by the works of H.P. Lovecraft and his nightlife. He really should have known that something was up, because on the wall, written with a black Sharpie, are the words, "For a good time, call Cthulhu Fatalian."
Moody cat adventure game should have been a genre for decades already, but somehow Stray's house cat protagonist feels novel, and players already want more cat options. Modders have answered that call, turning Stray's orange tabby into all kinds of alternative cats. Black cats, gray cats, calico cats, lasagna cats. Yes, you can now play Stray as Garfield.
Heaven is a void of light, John.
Modder Chris Rubino is responsible for putting the Jim Davis cartoon cat into Stray with the Garfield Cartoon Edition mod, which can be downloaded at Nexus Mods. Mod Garfield looks somewhat like the 3D animated movie version of Garfield, but it's not a perfect resemblance, and the movie version itself wasn't a great take on Garfield's classic cartoon look. But it's enough to be recognizable as Garfield, though.
I require lasagna, John.
I legitimately loved Garfield growing up, but I don't think I'd want to play him in a video game. Like, I'll be damned if I don't respect Rubino for doing what he had to do, really. If a Garfield mod for Stray didn't exist, it'd be reasonable to wonder if you'd slid into a parallel dimension where things are just slightly different. Say, a universe where Garfield isn't internet irony royalty, but an eldritch horror.
I do not require eyes, John.
I met God, John. Would you like to hear what he said as he begged for mercy, John? Do you want to hear the words that God himself spoke as he wept, John?
Now that sounds like a fun game.
A wrestling show held a couple weeks ago provided a great example of how performer demographics are rapidly shifting away from bodybuilders and models and towards, you know, nerdy kids who grew up watching them.
Ooh, let me tell you something, brother. Yeah, demographic changes are always difficult to anticipate and adjust for, yeah.
Kid Bandit, a non-binary cosplayer and Twitch streamer billed as the protagonist of professional wrestling, participated in a Devil's Playground match against fellow indie wrestler Drexel at Prestige Wrestling's Nonstop Feeling July 22nd. The hardcore confrontation featured all the bloody excitement one would expect, but Kid Bandit brought an enduring pop culture flair to the performance that's captured the internet's attention.
I always prefer more of a devil's advocate match, yeah, where we discuss alternative viewpoints to pre-existing assumptions to find a different potential alternative, yeah, then punch each other a lot.
The match opened with Kid Bandit writing their opponent's name in their Bandit Note, a play on the manga and anime Death Note. But don't worry, Drexel eventually ripped the page with his name on it from the notebook and stapled it to Kid Bandit's head. I'm not 100% sure if that negates the curse, but it was pretty brutal.
Tearing the page wouldn't matter, no. But if you burn the book, the Shinigami, who previously owned the Death Note, would return to the Shinigami realm. They didn't already have another Death Note on Earth, yeah. If the owners did, then burning the Death Note would have no effect except forcing the Shinigami to return to the Shinigami realm, yeah.
I freaking love that that's actually true. The highlight of the match came, though, when Kid Bandit unveiled a secret weapon, a barbed wire covered version. After spinning the improvised weapon around like an Obi-Wan Kenobi move in a Star Wars prequel thing, Kid Bandit naturally used it to assault Drexel, a legal tactic in the no-holds-barred tournament.
It unsealed the barriers between worlds, yeah. The world where his blood was inside his body, and one where blood was outside of his body, oh.
The violent sequence culminated with the anime-inspired wrestler diving over the top rope and posing near a fan sign reading, Kid Bandit sold this seat! Oh, and in case you're wondering, Kid Bandit won the match. He had barbed wire, for God's sakes. You may think pro wrestling is silly or simple, but name any other form of storytelling where everything is presented in the way a performer dresses, walks, moves, and the majority of dialogue is presented via violence, showcasing the battle of right and wrong, the light versus the darkness, good versus evil, and sweaty men and women rolling around in tights. Yeah!
In a move that has sent shockwaves in the industry, Warner Brothers Pictures has abruptly scrapped any planned release of its Batgirl movie, which cost $90 million to produce.
But why?
First reported in the New York Post and subsequently confirmed by the trades and the rap, the film will not premiere on any platform at the studio, neither theatrically nor on HBO Max.
Not even streaming? Holy confusion, Warner Brothers!
The Batgirl scrapping is the real surprise as the project wrapped filming months ago, with directors Adil Al-Arbi and Bilal Falla well into the final stages of post-production, with the project in the middle of test screenings. The original New York Post report says that those test screenings were not going well and claims the studio decided to cut its losses and run. Deadline disputed the claim, saying one screening was held and the result wasn't that bad.
Hollywood ain't known for cutting losses. See its Transformers series, After Earth, Cats.
Batgirl stars Leslie Grace as Batgirl / Barbara Gordon, along with J.K. Simmons returning as Commissioner Jim Gordon, Brendan Fraser as the villain Firefly, and Michael Keaton returning as Batman / Bruce Wayne. Initial reports suggested the decision was driven entirely by a desire for the studio slate of DC features to be at a blockbuster scale, and Batgirl was budgeted as a direct-to-HBO Max release. However, a quick follow-up report in Variety has several sources suggesting a more basic reason to the outlet, a tax write-off.
Which is more believable, that, or is the Riddler behind this? Okay, a tax write-off.
Batgirl was greenlit and made under the previous regime at Warner's before the newly formed Warner Brothers Discovery and its CEO David Zaslav took over this spring. Zaslav has made it clear he intends to commit to releasing first-run feature films in theaters before putting them on HBO Max. Thus, Batgirl was in a bind. Expanding the scope of the film with additional filming, along with releasing the movie theatrically backed by a large marketing campaign, would have nearly doubled its costs at a studio newly focused on belt-tightening.
But $90 million? I mean, just slip it onto HBO Max at the very least. Otherwise, Egghead wins.
Warner Brothers Discovery has also released a statement.
The decision to not release Batgirl reflects our leadership strategic shift as it relates to the DC Universe and HBO Max. Leslie Grace is an incredibly talented actor, and this decision is not a reflection of her performance. We are incredibly grateful to the filmmakers of Batgirl and the also-canceled Scoob Holiday Haunt, also killed by the WB, and their respective casts, and we hope to collaborate with everyone again in the near future. Of
all the DC properties that they could have scrapped. Why did it have to be Batgirl? I was looking forward to that. They could have easily made their money back by releasing this and giving Ezra Miller's multi-film contracts the axe. But then the world certainly is screaming out for more Fantastic Beasts film, aren't they?
Yeah, the first one was okay. A YouTuber built a PC out of a working toilet, creating what just might be the first toilet capable of both handling your waste and playing Counter-Strike Global Offense. What a world we live in.
Why did you mention CSGO? You already said waste.
As spotted by Eurogamer, YouTuber Basically Home has cut a deal with the electronic shop Micro Center to create a gaming PC inside of an actual toilet, complete with all the plumbing and water that entails. It's a wild thing. Not surprising, though. You see, for as long as we have had toilets in video games, many have tried to combine them. I mean, even I have heard the sirens call and attempted to poop and game at the same time. Countless others do so while playing games on their phones.
Well, who hasn't played Dungeon Defenders while dropping the kids off at the pool?
But Basically Homeless didn't want to simply bring a Switch or a phone or even a Steam Deck into the bathroom. Instead, he wanted to create a setup that would let him play 120Hz FPS shooters with a mouse and keyboard while sitting on a toilet.
Well, I prefer using a controller while cooking a loaf.
The way this thing works is one half of the tank contains all the toilet bits and bobs along with the water. Then he built a water wall out of plexiglass and glue. On the other side of the wall is all the computer parts. The idea was to keep them separate. Good plan there. Letting you flush the working toilet while playing games. Also built into the lid is a fan to keep the PC cool.
Well, I'd like to play Red Dead Redemption while seeing a man about a horse.
It probably won't surprise you to learn that the first time he connected the toilet to the water supply, his hacked-together water wall failed, and he ended up having to use a whole can of Flexi Steel inside the tank to protect the valuable PC electronics. However, now that he's gotten everything working, including the RGB lighting, the finished PC/toilet hybrid is weirdly, oddly impressive. Thanks to a large cutout in the front, you can see both the functioning toilet and the running PC.
There had damn well better be some RGB lighting when I play Sea of Thieves while deploying the USS Brownfish.
According to Basically Holmes, he had to learn basic plumbing and learn how to cut porcelain to create this bizarre PC. The end result is both a conversation starter and a man who can now fix his own toilet. Truly, a win-win situation. The only thing that this seems to be missing, though, is a bidet feature. And, you know, you'd better make sure it's hooked up so when you get a Victor Royale, your backside gets a visit from the Bellagio Water Show, which you will absolutely need to make sure you get rid of all the e-waste as you're cleaning out your own personal cash, which is the best way you can go about solving hardships in information technology. GRT is licensed under the Creative Commons.
Is that the greatest story we've ever done?
It could be.
I think it is.
Oh, wait. Three people just got that last bit there. Nice! Good times. Blah, 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 geekradiodaily.com. Oh, I mean, you keep thinking, what else can the world surprise us with? And there you go.
And we're here to bring it to you.
There you go. Or, you know, 2 years worth of text messages. Anyway, you should drop us a text message as well. You know, a voicemail will be fine. You need these magic numbers right here.
510-GRD.
Otherwise, use that whole email thing that people do. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com, and we will see you when we do.
You are all weirdos.
Such a gigantic walking nightmare.
I'm not mad.
Good night, suckers.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
You were on duty the day Miss Weber came in alleging she'd been molested by Dr. Ott. Is that correct?
I remember it very clearly, Counselor. She seemed to be seesawing between anger and humiliation. Classic symptoms of molestation victims.
Objection. State of mind?
Sustained.
Did she say why she was so upset?
Yes, she said she went to Dr. Ott to obtain a prescription for Prozac. But the good doctor diagnosing her with hysteria recommended an alternative treatment to chemical dependency.
And what was that treatment?
Ms. Weber was told to disrobe, put her feet up in stirrups, and try to picture David Hasselhoff on Baywatch.
Objection! Your Honor, this witness is not qualified to testify in the treatment for hysteria.
Actually, sir, I am. Up until 1952, hysteria was one of the most commonly diagnosed illnesses among women. The medical treatment was hysterical paroxysm.
Could the witness spell that?
O-R-G-A-S-F.
Objection!
Oh.
Would it surprise you to learn that historically the onus fell upon physicians to bring about the relief of these ladies' symptoms?
Your Honor, please instruct counsel to withhold his questions until cross.
I don't mind, Your Honor. In fact, I believe the manual version of this treatment dates back to Hippocrates and was attested to right up to the Middle Ages, up into the 1890s, when the vibrator was invented to speed things along.
Objection!
Sustained.
Detective, is this practice currently against the law?
Yes, and so is videotaping it.